They were all in front of court. They were filled with expectation, waiting on the promise of the Lord. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And in the room they were seen, baptized with Jesus. Repent and be baptized. He told everybody to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptize me, Jesus.
Baptize me, Jesus.
With the Holy Ghost.
With the Holy Ghost.
I shall have power.
I shall have power.
Your word said so.
Your word said so.
Satan is busy.
Satan is busy.
Trying to turn me around.
Shake somebody right by you and tell them Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon them. You need to tell somebody, I've got the same Holy Ghost that they got back then, and the same power that they received. I've got it in this house tonight. Shake somebody a little bit and tell them, I shall have power. Praise the Lord. Why don't we clap our hands into him and bless his name? What a wonderful, wonderful day to be in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Well, God is doing some awesome things. It's a great day to be alive in his kingdom. Prophecy coming to pass on every hand. And we are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. The end of the world, it says, has come. And we are most blessed and highly favored of God to live in a time like this. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Praise God. I wouldn't trade places with anybody in any era. I'd rather live here than be standing at the banks of the Red Sea when it began to part. I'd rather be here than standing at Jordan when God rolled back the waters and brought them. I'd rather see what I'm seeing right now than see the walls of Jericho come down. I'm just telling you, when it's all said and done, this is going to be the greatest hour of the church. When it's all said and done, this is going to be the finest hour. Well, praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Talking about all the champions of faith from ancient times, the Word of God declares, these all died not having received the promise. God having prepared some better thing for us. And as good as it was then, the Word of God, you can cite it in many different places, but I'm thinking about Hebrews chapter 8. We've got a better covenant based upon better promises. We've got a better high priest. We've got better access into the holiest place of God. This is the premium time to be alive in the kingdom of God. It just keeps getting better. We're going to, for a moment, take another look at Psalms 48. And we are making our way through the Old Testament. But we're hung up in Psalms 48. But it's all right. We'll move as far as we need to here, and then we'll shake loose. And this book's been around for thousands of years. And we do well to spend lots of time with it. Praise God. It is what tells us about our God. And the answers of life are found here. I really do believe that, and six of you agree with that. I believe it's the truth right now. I really do. I don't believe you need to go anywhere else, look for anything else. Well, praise God. Psalms 48, the first three verses, everyone say, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. 13, mark you well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. Everybody say praise the Lord. This is a phenomenal passage of scripture for us where we're standing now, because this spoke of ancient Jerusalem. But in these days, for the last 2,000 years, this scripture has been indicative of the church of the living God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And as the psalmist admonishes us to walk about Zion and go round about her and tell her towers and mark her bulwarks and consider her palaces so that we are able to tell it to a generation that is coming, then that is our mandate for the church of the living God. Somebody needs to know what the church should look like. Somebody needs to be able to tell it to these children and these young people that are coming up. I'm telling you, there is a generation outside the walls of this house that don't know what real church is. Some people gave up on church a long time ago because they got tired of it being dead, dull, dry, and boring, because it didn't answer the questions in their life, and it didn't offer them the power or the anointing that they needed to make it from day to day. But I'm glad to tell them that what God has for them, He poured it out in that first generation church, and He didn't pull back anything. He's been given the Holy Ghost to everybody that's asked for it for the last 2,000 years. He's been cleansing sin for the last 2,000 years. He's been delivering men and women for the last 2,000 years. This thing is real. This thing is real. The Word of God is our roadmap, and we understand that the veil in the temple was torn, and Jerusalem is dormant now. It will be again the centerpiece of God's plan. But now it's lying in dormancy. God opened up a mysterious hidden passageway for the Gentiles to come in and be a part of the kingdom of God. And we ought to all be glad and happy about that extraordinary grace that God has poured out upon us. And that's what we're walking in tonight. We know that this is the church of the living God that is being spoken about here. And we're talking about her high places, her prominent towers and her bulwarks or her foundational strengths. And that's what we're talking about here recently. And we'll look at her palaces and how her people live. But one more time, I want to touch these bulwarks. And I want to tell you that in reference to verse 2, beautiful for situation. Speaking today of the church, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Praise God. It is incredible, but there is no real or lasting joy outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give Him praise and thanks for His word tonight, forever settled in the heavens. We praise You. We thank You, mighty God. Praise God. It's so good to have all of our guests or visitors in the house tonight. We're glad that you've come. We want you to always make yourself at home when you come to New Life. Everybody say, the joy of the whole earth. That is an incredible statement. That Jerusalem would be given the task of being the key to joy for the whole earth. And we know the end of that story. That Israel failed God, and they went out after other gods, and they went looking for other things, and they declined to walk in the covenant of God, and consequently, they were not prepared, nor were they able, even though they were called to be the joy of the whole world. They were called to be the instrument of God, but they failed in their calling for many different reasons. And God opened up the door now to the church. And now the church is the key to joy for the whole world. It's an awesome responsibility. It's a powerful mission. An incredible mandate. And as we sit here tonight, we're a little bit overwhelmed by the prospect of the fact that the whole world is waiting on joy to knock on their door. The whole world is in darkness and they're waiting for light. The whole world is in sin's squalor and they're waiting for redemption. They're waiting for something to break, for a day to be more than just another day grueling in the mill or tasking in the fields or working and slaving and get up and go to bed and it's all the same and it's the same old humdrum and the same old empty cup and the same old conversations, but their soul is crying out, there's got to be something more. There has to be something more. And tucked away in the Word of God is a message for the church tonight. Stand up, church. You are the joy of the whole world. My God, We're just a handful here. We're just a little group here. We don't have much power here. But I read about a story in the Word of God. When the multitude was hungry, all they could find was one little boy with a little bag lunch. But God laid his hand on the fish, and that's a type of the people of God. And God laid his hand on the bread, and that is a type of the people of God. And he blessed it, and he broke it, and he fed the multitude. And look at your neighbor and tell him, you are in the sack lunch. And God wants to bless you and break you and feed you to this world. You are the joy of the world. Woven in the tapestry of that story, he would bless it, he would break it, he would give it to his disciples, and they would carry it out and give it to the multitudes by basketfuls. And as they did, they became the transmitter. They became the carrier. They became the emissary of the miracle of God. And those that stood there that day with him, they were the beginning of the church of the living God. And he was teaching what the church was going to be. The church was going to be God's vehicle for feeding the world. God's vehicle for touching every soul. That day, not one went away hungry. That day, not one went away with an empty stomach, but he fed everybody from a little tiny meager. You feel small tonight? You feel inadequate for the task tonight? Are you just denying the task tonight? Well, I don't knock doors, and I don't preach in the street, and I don't witness at work. And I don't tell folks about it at school. And because when I get to thinking about it, if I ever open up that door and embrace it, this is just way too big for me. This is way too big for my little life and my little sack lunch and my little church and our little abilities and capabilities. This is bigger than all of us put together. What difference can we make in the world? Our city doesn't even know we're here. The state doesn't know anything about us. The region is oblivious that we exist. We could disappear today, and people in a 5-state area wouldn't even know we had been alive on the face of the earth, much less a nation. But the Bible says the church is the joy of the whole earth. Can anybody hear that thundering in your spirit tonight? Praise God. Everybody say, we are the joy of the whole earth. Now, this is consistent with the Abrahamic promise. This is consistent with what God told Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1-3, God calls Abram out of Ur, and he's traveling with his family. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I'll tell you this right now, unless you're willing to respond to that message this morning and separate yourself and come out, you'll never be the joy of the whole world. You'll never feed the whole multitude. The first step in feeding that multitude and coming out and coming into a place where you can be the catalyst for joy in your city, or joy on your workplace, or joy in your high school. That enables you to do that begins with your coming out. First, Abraham came out and he said, I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And everybody say, I'll bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. One man is going to be the key to blessing for the whole world. One man is going to hold the blessing for the whole world. in his hand. Don't stagger at the calling of God when he said you are called to be the joy of the whole world. It begins with one man, and that man is Abraham. And in you and in your seed, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth. Abraham has a call. First, to be a blessing. Say, first, to be a blessing. I'm backwards. Say, first, to be blessed. And then, to be a blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, first, you got to be blessed. Then, you can be a blessing. Now, I know it's got to make sense to you that you cannot be a blessing until you've been blessed. You can't help somebody else if your pocket is empty. You can't help somebody else if your heart is empty. You can't be of strength to anybody else if you don't have any strength yourself. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, this permeates and flows down through generational lines into those that are a part of the seed of Abraham. Everybody say the seed of Abraham. Genesis 28 and beginning in verse 10, and this is Jacob, and we've jumped one generation away from Abraham, and Jacob is the son of Isaac, and the prayer has been made, and he's become the recipient of the blessing and of the birthright. Now he's running to Haran to escape his brother, and he stops overnight at a place called Luz, and he goes to sleep on a pillow made of stones, and he lays down. And verse 12, he dreams, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. He has a portal opened over his life. He thinks it's the place, but it's not the place. The portal has opened because he is there, and he is the recipient of the blessing. And it begins with Abraham, and it flows down through all of those who are the seed of Abraham. And God is about to fashion an encounter with this young man. And God is at the top of this ladder. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I, the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. Everybody say, I'll give it to Jacob and to his seed. The word to Abraham was, it's going to be you and your seed. You're going to be blessed, and you'll be a blessing. To Jacob, it is you and your seed, and you'll be blessed, and you'll be a blessing. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north. And 15, and behold, I am with thee. I'll keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And the last line of verse 14, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It's coming down through Abram, and it's moving through Jacob, and it's for all of the seed of Abraham. And everybody say, praise the Lord. And now we scream across the generations down to the New Testament text, and we find the commentary on the church of the living God in Galatians chapter 3 and beginning with verse 26. And everyone say, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Don't let anybody diminish for you the importance, the essentiality, the necessity of baptism in his name. Don't let anybody tell you, well, that's just a work. We've already been all over that and under that and around that. The word of God said when you put him on is when you've been baptized into him. Well, praise the Lord. Verse 28, there's no Jew, no Greek, no bond, nor free, no male, nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And everybody saying, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, and if I belong to Christ, then I am Abraham's seed and I am an heir according to the promise. What's the promise? The promise is you're going to be blessed. And you're going to be a blessing. The promise is you're bound to be blessed. You have to be blessed. It's a word of God that you've got to walk in blessing. But it's not just about you. It's about you so that you can touch others. It's not just about you. It's the chain of events of the spiritual power of God. God wants to bless you by Abraham so that you can be a blessing to others. Let's clap our hands. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And according to the word of God, in a perfect scriptural chain that we've connected tonight, we are the children of Abraham by Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen. Because of that, we are recipients of the promise of God and the blessing and the responsibility. We are recipients of the blessing and the mission. We're recipients of the blessing and the responsibility. That means it is the plan of God for you to touch the whole world. But the thing that has to happen before you can touch the whole world is that God has to touch your life with a blessing. God has never called you to do anything that he hasn't already equipped you for. God hasn't called you to be anything that he won't give you the wherewithal or the power to do it. God never called you to pray a prayer that he couldn't give you the faith to pray it. God never called you to sing a song that he wouldn't give you the strength to sing it. God never called you to touch a blind man and he wouldn't give you the power to heal him. God never called you to be a blessing to the whole world and not hang an impending blessing over your head. Somebody say praise the Lord. My God, just because I belong to God, I've got a blessing hanging over my life right now. I've got a blessing waiting down the calendar. There's a blessing for me on Monday. There's a blessing waiting on Tuesday. I don't know what your date or your calendar looks like, but I've got a blessing every day of the week coming up. Every morning when I wake up, the sun rises with a blessing in his hand for me. Every night while I'm asleep, things are being prepared for the blessing of God in my life. My God, I know he washes your sins away, and that's a blessing. I know he's filled you with the Holy Ghost, and that's a blessing. I know he's forgiven you by grace and faith, and that is a blessing. But I want you to know you are the key to the joy of the whole world, and we've got to get at it, church. We've got to get at this mandate. We've got a mission. We've got a job to do, and it's bigger than all of us put together. But God says, I'll bless you. There may be a little breaking in there, too. But he said, I'll bless you. And you'll bless the whole world. Why don't you offer up your vessel to him here for just a moment? I'm glad to be the seed of Abraham. I'm glad to be the target of God's blessing. I'm glad to be a part of the church of the living God. I pray, oh God, rain down your blessing on this house. Rain down your blessing on every family. Mighty God, rain down your blessing on the hands of all these who work. Lord God, rain down your hand on the ministry of all of these who are working to touch somebody else's life. God, your word has said it. Do it to your servants right now. God, unleash the blessing of heaven upon this people and upon this congregation. And on every family and every household. My God, I feel faith in the house right now. I want to tell you something. We're talking about the bulwarks of the church of the living God. We're talking about the foundational strength and defense of the kingdom of God. And something's got to happen in my mind. I've got to know that God loves me. I've got to know that God is my father. I've got to know that God has a blessing for me. I've got to know ain't no devil big enough to take away the blessing of God. There isn't a day dark enough to quench the blessing of God. There's no negative wind strong enough to tear down the sails of the blessing of God in my boat. Praise God. Shove your neighbor a little bit and say, I'm blessing. There's nothing you can do about it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you, the enemy's walked up behind you and said, it's just going to always be like that. You're always going to be like that. You're always going to be without. You're always going to be in neglect. You're always going to be half broken down. You're always going to be struggling. You're always, my God, somebody ought to be on their feet already. And you ought to take what I've already preached here tonight. And you ought to say, it ain't going to be that way because I'm blessed of God. It's not going to be that way because I've got a promise. I am a seed of Abraham. When I was born again, I was born to be blessed. When I was born again, I was born to be a blessing. Well, praise God. Praise God. The joy of the whole earth. He said all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through you. That's a big job. It's a big job. Lay your hand on your neighbor's shoulder and tell him it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, once more, look him in the eye. It's not by might, and it won't be by your power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Ah, it won't be in your natural. It won't be in your physical. It won't be the result of the linear thinking of our world. There's a blessing coming that doesn't depend on anybody around you. It doesn't depend on your boss, because promotion doesn't come from the north or the south, but promotion comes from God. My God. We've got a big job, and somebody needs to begin to pray the word of God. God, you've given me a big job. I've got to shake a city. I've got to move a neighborhood. God, I'm believing you to give me everything that I need. You know what I pray when I pray for this church? I pray all kinds of things for you. You'd be scared if you knew what all I prayed for you. But when I'm into the prayer segment, when I'm praying, God, open wide the gates of heaven and pour out the great blessing so great that it can't be contained. Rebuke the devourer for our sake. And I begin to pray for your hands, that you'd have craftsmanship and wisdom and skill and abilities beyond your own, and favor with all those that you work with, and that God would give you increase, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what I pray for you, and I'm praying in the will of God, because you got a big job to do, and God has called you to be blessed. God has called you to be blessed. My God. And you know what? I'm seeing him do it. I'm seeing him do it. Praise God. I want you to know, I was almost on the verge of just killing myself when I was touring the Rock Church this week. I walked in the back door of that place, and I saw Athens behind the platform. They built the Parthenon behind their platform in that new place. 2,500 on the floor. 5,000 when stage two is finished. You say, Brother Sutton, you're impressed with big things. I'm impressed with big things in the kingdom of God. I sure am. I'm impressed with a church that started with 8 or 9 people. I'm impressed with a church that's building something so big the city's Philharmonic wants to come and have concerts there and contract for that place. I'm impressed with a place so big you can drive by from a mile away. You can see it sitting there, and it's saying, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, holiness, righteousness. Yeah, yeah. I love that. I love it. I love it. And I love that it's happening somewhere. Because I know if it can happen somewhere, it can happen anywhere. And if it can happen there, it can happen here. Well, there's some folks that see that, Brother Freeman, and they say, well, they must be doing something wrong. Because if you're really living for God, you're going to be pure and poor. And nothing good's ever going to happen. It's going to be us four and no more. And if you're really living for God, you got to be small. But let me tell you something. God can anoint small things to do great things, but it is not the nature of the kingdom of God to stay small. It is the kingdom of God to start small, like a mustard seed, but he said it becomes a great tree. It is the nature of God's kingdom to start small, but it always grows beyond the imagination or comprehension of a man. My God. I got to looking, I'm thinking they're doing something right. They're preaching baptism in Jesus' name. They're preaching Holy Ghost talking in tongues. They're preaching holiness of lifestyle. And friend, they are tearing it up and having revival. They've got Russians in the house and Filipinos in the house and Latinos in the house and Chinese people in the house and translation going on all over the place and all kinds of different languages. Praise God. Praise God. And you know what I'm doing tonight? The Bible says you need to weep with those that weep. Oh, Brother Cedric. It's so sad. But he also said you need to rejoice with those that rejoice. You say, what is that about? My God, they're building a church in Sacramento. You ought to see that place. I want to tell you something. This church has more in common with that church than almost any place I've been in my whole experience in the kingdom of God. The pastor's daughter visited when we were over in the Little Red Building. She said, this place is more like my dad's ministry and church than any place I've ever been. Praise God. We're walking around at ARC. And Brother and Sister Howard, who are longtime residents of California, participants in the old PSR conference that they had over there, they're walking around the aisles and on the platform at ARC last year, and they're saying, this reminds me so much of PSR. This reminds me so much of those early days of that conference. And they had a handful of those guys, Vaughn Martin in Fresno and Nate Wilson in Sacramento and Randy Keys in Modesto and Larry Booker in Rialto. And you know what? They don't have a conference all together anymore. They all have their own separate conferences because they're so big now. They can have their own conferences. My God. And they say, this feels like that. And they say, this conference feels like that one. And this church feels like those churches. I'm not trying to pump you up. I'm not even worried about that. Because if I pump you up, something will tear you down. Some will knock you down. Life is just like that. I'm not worried, but I do want you to rise up in the promise of God and lay hold of that and understand I was born again to be blessed and to be a blessing. Clap your hands. Shout to God. Anybody in the house that wants to lay hold of a blessing right now. Anybody in the house that wants to lay hold of the fact you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the blessing. blessed in Bible studies, blessed in the altar, blessed with a net full of fish, blessed with physical miracles, blessed with financial miracles, blessed with understanding, blessed with wisdom, and on and on and on, and blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. And not to be a Dead Sea. We don't want to be blessed to be a Dead Sea and be a big fat Dead Sea apostolic. Look at all my blessings. He never meant for that to happen. You'll go bad. It's like the good things in the kingdom of God. If you don't use them up and give them away and do with them, they go bad. Manna goes bad. The blessing goes bad. The life-giving waters of the Jordan River go bad when they fall off into that Dead Sea and they don't have an outlet. The blessing of God will only reoccur and only sustain and continue to be a blessing in your life if you've got an outlet for it. God, I've read it in the book. I'm ready. Bless me. Uncork it, God. Turn it on, God. Knowing this, I'm going to bless everybody I touch. I'm going to bless everybody I come in contact. I'm going to be a blessing in the house. I'm going to be a blessing in my house. I'm going to be a blessing in the city. I'm going to be a blessing in my school. Praise God. Ooh, this is fun. It's fun to be blessed and to be a blessing. Anybody in the house that you're already blessed? Anybody in the house that understands the revelation of I'm already blessed and I understand blessing other people? Anybody get the high, get the rush of helping and blessing others? But can you understand that even though you're blessed, some of you are blessed abundantly in so many different ways, do you understand there is no end to this? Do you understand that if you walk in it wisely, understand the mandate and the mission, God will just keep pouring it out on you. If you're a working vessel, a useful vessel, a profitable vessel in his hand, he'll just keep pouring it out on you. Do you understand that? Would you like to walk in greater degree of blessing? Find a way to be a better blessing to somebody else. Would you like to have God just rain down on you from the heavens? I'm telling you, the key to that is find out how to become the joy of the whole world. Find out how to become the joy of the whole world. I remember talking to Ron Libby, and they were in the throes of what happens when government cutbacks happen up in around Gaithersburg in Washington, D.C., and the church had a lot of people move out, and they were under the crunch, and the housing up there and building up there is extraordinarily expensive, and he said, but you know, I knew how to get out of this economic crunch. He said, I knew how to get out of this downturn in our church, and they had just been having revival for years and years, but things had locked up and gotten really tight, and they were struggling in some areas. But he said, I knew exactly how to get out. He said, I'm going to give us out of this. He said, I'm going to give more to missions this year than we've ever given before. He said, I'm going to be a blessing to everybody that walks in this door. He said, I'm going to take every missionary that comes in this house. I'm going to pour out a blessing on every. Oh, there's two people clapping right now, but I'm telling you, you better find a way to be a blessing to somebody else. It's the way it works. It's the way it works. Praise God. You know what we're going to do every year? Every year, our offering to every major offering in the UPC is going to go up. Every year, our giving to foreign missions is going up. Every year, our giving to home missions is going up. I want to be a bigger blessing. I want this church to be a bigger blessing. I can't wait. I can't wait. I come from a church where they'd give $100,000 a year to foreign missions. $30,000 to Christmas for Christ. Another 30 or 40 to She's for Christ. Just sit down and write the check. Praise God. Praise God. I'm telling you, you can give your way. You can be a blessing. And God will say, look at that. He's poor. She's pouring out. They're pouring it out here. I'm going to pour it out on them. And don't worry, I'm not taking up an offering tonight, but I ought to. I ought to. Let me tell you something. You can get a hold of this, and it'll take you as far and as high as you'll let it take you. Praise God. There's a little church up in Eva, Alabama. That's about the same size as this one. A little bit older. I was over there the other day for Brother Wilbank's 50th birthday celebration. And his bishop, Brother Wilson, was there. And Brother Wilson was staying over to preach that night. And he preached, but he just got to talking to the church. And he didn't really preach. He just started wandering around in the Holy Ghost. And before the night was out, they had taken up over $300,000 for a building program. And that's over and above all your normal giving. Now you're getting scared. Because you're thinking, this ain't Eva and you ain't Nate Wilson. You're right on both counts. But we are the children of Abraham. And we are blessed to be a blessing. And we are Mount Zion, the city of the great King, the joy of the whole earth. Well, praise God. And I tell you what, there ain't going to be any joy without that Holy Ghost. And there's not going to be any joy without that baptism in the name. And there's not going to be any joy without a preacher to preach the word of God to them. And the word of God says, how can they preach except they be sent? Praise God. We're going to send some people. We're doing something right now, but I'm telling you, it's going to get ugly. I'm just telling you, I feel it all over this place tonight. I'm not talking about sending you. Although I can't tell you that that's not a possibility. I'm just telling you, as a part of what we're going to experience in this church, as we walk in the blessing of God, we are going to be an extraordinary blessing. You didn't hear that. You're not understanding that. I said, as we walk in the blessing of God, we're going to breathe a rarefied air of becoming an extraordinary blessing. We're already piddling around. We're already doing a few things. We send free preaching down to whole missionary churches, but it's going to get ugly. It's going to get worse. Praise God. We've sent a few gifts here, and we sponsor missionaries, and we give offerings to all the major, all, but it's about to just get ugly. God's about to pour out some blessings in this church. You know how he does that now? Let me tell you how he does that. Now, he could do it a lot of different ways, but let me tell you how he's going to do that. He's going to come in this house and lay his hand on men and women in this church, and he's going to begin to give you increase from unexpected places. When I pray for you, I pray, God, give them raises, give them promotions, give them bonuses, give them new accounts, give them open doors that no man can close. God, give them unexpected blessings. Let it erupt from every corner around them, God. Increase on every side. Increase on every side. See, you're thinking about your capacity and the relationship you have with whoever or whatever you're working for. But none of that is relevant. What's relevant is you're a child of Abraham. God owns it all. And God can take the prisoner and set the prisoner on the throne in one 24-hour period. God can take a captive named Daniel and make him the mightiest wise man in a pagan Babylon. God can take Joseph and make him prime minister over all of Egypt. My God. How high can you look? How far can you dream? What can God do with you? Well, Brother Sutton, I'm a little bit old. And I'm already past all that. You were born again to be blessed and to be a blessing. This does, too, have to do with the foundations of the church and of our city of Zion. Because you have to know who you are, and you have to understand your mission. You have to have a handle on your purpose, or you will never be effective for yourself in your dreams or in the kingdom of God. You have to know who you are. You have to know what your God is capable of. You have to know what the covenant is about. What the purpose and the mission down at the base of this church. All that we do down at the bedrock, the foundation level of this church. There is purpose and there is mission born of vision breathed by the Spirit of God. We have a building here not to maintain a little building, and we're going to build another one over here. But it's not to have a pretty place, and it's not to just have another building note or a building to maintain, but it's a barn to put the harvest of God in, another one to fill with joy, another one to find the glory, another one to get their lives put back together again. We've got a purpose. We've got a calling. We've got a mission. We were born again to be blessed and to be a blessing. Why don't you clap your hands unto him? If you really believe God's about to rain down some on you, why don't you shout about it a little bit? The shouting won't make it happen. The promise of the word of God is what makes it happen. Praise God. Why don't you lay your hand on somebody and say, I'm blessed, and I can pray a blessing on you. I'm blessed, and I've got more than enough to spare. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It can't go down. God's holding it up. There's not a power in this earth that can stop the blessing of God. My God, my God, my God. Down at the foundation of our experience is the knowledge of who we are in the kingdom of God and our purpose. Without a sure sense of identity, you are blown about by every wind. Paul admonishes, don't be like children and about young people. They are not fully formed in their thinking and in their orientation. And their political thought and their theological thought doesn't gel until they're maybe 19 or in their early 20s. And so they're easily influenced and they're easily blown about. They're not as able as adults to be rooted in concept, gods or otherwise. Praise God. But a person without an identity, it is no small wonder that when Jesus meets the enemy in Luke chapter 4, that the enemy says, if you are the Son of God. All right. Now he's going to tempt him, but he begins by saying, I don't believe you are the Son of God. Planting a doubt, if you are the Son of God. I really don't think it. You probably don't think it either. You don't know. And if you don't know who you are, And if you don't know what the mission is, chances are really good you won't stand. You're going to have to lean on somebody else. Somebody else is going to carry you. Somebody else is going to pray down revival for you. Somebody else is going to send the missionaries you should be sending. Somebody else is going to do the work and shoulder up under the burden for you, because you don't know who you are yet. If you don't know who you are, you'll be fooling around with other things. You'll be dabbling in other things. It'll be easy to be Holy Ghost on Sunday and catting about on Monday and Tuesday. It'll be easy to clap your hands in church and fool around and laugh at the dirty jokes down at the school or at the job. It'll be easy to be duplicitous in your approach to spiritual things if you don't know who you are. But once you get a knowledge, it's like being married. I know I'm married. And when I know I'm married, I ain't fooling around. I ain't going to be out having martinis with some other gal. Mainly because I'm afraid of her. This gal will go off on you. But I'm married. I know who I am. I've filled out hundreds of thousands of forms, and I always check the married box. I know I'm married. So I live like I'm married, and I act like I'm married. And I'm glad to be married, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Praise God. Praise God. I know I belong to God. I know I'm a child of God. I know what my mission is. I know I'm called to be blessed of God and to be a blessing. The enemy wants to undermine your sense of identity. It's always going to be like this. You're never going to make any impact in the kingdom of God. You're never going to be able to do anything in the house of God or the kingdom of God. You're not going to make a difference in this, the joy of the whole world. That's pretty funny. That'll give some people some joy. You're the joy of the whole world. Can you believe that? What are we laughing about? Now he says, yeah, I believe this. I believe he is. Oh, my goodness. If you're going to believe in grace for yourself, you got to believe in it for everybody around you. There's people in this house right now, young people and married folks. There's folks in this house right now with gifts yet untold emerging in their lives. People in this house right now with anointings that we've never even seen. Praise God. There's people. Praise God. Shake your neighbor and say, I was born again to be blessed and to be a blessing. Why don't you come down around the altar tonight? I was hoping the choir would be able to sing blessed like that tonight. But they'll probably sing it next week. Shake your neighbor and say, I'm blessed like that. Praise God. In the garden at the fall, if you're under the age of 20, I want you to get up on the top step and turn around, because we're going to let somebody talk to you in a minute. But in the garden at the fall, they fell, Antoine. We're not done yet. They fell in the garden, Kelly, because the enemy said, God's holding you down. Come with me, and I can make something out of your life. At the flood, the Bible said, Genesis chapter 6, that there were men of renown, famous men, men that had made a name for themselves. And at the Tower of Babel, they said, let's not scatter all over the world. But they said, let's Let's make a city and a tower. And let's make a name for ourselves. Praise God. Stop all that giggling. The enemy's always trying to tell you there's another way to make a name for yourself or to become great. But you know what Abraham did? The Bible said he just obeyed God. And God said, and I will make your name great. And I will make you a blessing. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. You don't have to go the world's way. God can make you a blessing. You don't have to go the enemy's way. Don't let him tell you all the reasons why it can't be like God says. Because God can make it happen when there's no supporting evidence at all. Faith, substance, and evidence. Praise God. I want somebody that believes that you are blessed and that God will bless these young people. I want you to come and stand in front of them. And I want you to begin to tell them. Hallelujah. Somebody that knows that God will bless. Somebody that knows that you are blessed. Oh my goodness. Some hesitation in the house. Hallelujah. If you're still in the altar area, lay your hand on somebody near you there and say, tell them what God is about to do in your life. Tell them what God is doing in your life. Tell them about the blessing of God. I want you to lay your hand on somebody and pray a blessing down on them. If you're in this house and you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God can rain down that blessing on your life tonight.